What's $5 million among friends? AOPA says Mary Peters needs a new song to sing. And a leading light sport aircraft gets a makeover. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 28, 2008. The U.S. State Department recently rewarded a flight instructor $5 million for tipping off the FBI to Al-Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui a month before 9/11. Clarence Prevost, a former U.S. Navy pilot, told the Bureau Moussaoui showed up with no apparent grasp of flight basics, but insisted he be taught to fly a 747, paying with 68 $100 bills. The reward was presented at a closed ceremony in Washington, D.C., with Justice Department and FBI officials on hand. Now, CFI's Hugh Sims and Tim Nelson, who also contacted the FBI about Moussaoui in August 2001, are questioning why they weren't recognized along with Prevost and why they didn't share in the reward. In interviews with CNN, the men emphasized they acted not because they were looking for a reward, but because they wanted to do the right thing. In a statement Friday, Minnesota Senator Norm Coleman criticized the exclusion of Sims and Nelson, noting that both were previously recognized by the Senate in 2005 with a resolution honoring their bravery and heroism. An official with a reward program would say only that the FBI, quote, considered relevant information about the two others before making the nomination for the award and determined that the one individual was the one deserving of it, unquote. Moussaoui is the only person so far tried and convicted in connection with 9/11. CNN said Prevost could not be reached for comment on the controversy. In a speech to the Aero Club of Washington last week, Transportation Secretary Mary Peters told a gathering of aviation industry leaders that Congress needs to act, and act soon, on an FAA reauthorization bill. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association agrees, but criticized her proposals about user fees, tax increases, and congestion pricing as old and rather tired. In 2007, both the House and the Senate rejected the FAA's own proposal for user fees and a 70-cent per gallon tax on avgas and jet fuel, although the Senate version does include a $25 flat rate fee on each Terman IFR flight. The full House approved its version, supported by AOPA, but the Senate is still debating two competing versions. If either passes, it will have to be reconciled with the House version. TL Ultralight has introduced its new Sting S3, described as an evolution which brings several improvements to the already highly regarded Sting Sport. A new wing maintains the earlier profile, but with added span, area, and aspect ratio. The company says the result is a lower stall speed, faster climb, and more efficiency. Stall is now 39 knots clean, 34 with full flaps. Cruise at 75% power is 116 knots. Rate of climb with the 100 horsepower engine is in excess of 1,100 feet per minute, and takeoff roll as little as 255 feet. Equipped for cross-country or night operation, S3 starting prices range from $121,500 to $123,650. NASA announced last week that shuttle launch operators will not require all four engine cutoff sensors to be operational when Atlantis finally lifts off the pad next month. On Thursday, NASA's Program Requirements and Control Board recommended launching Atlantis on February 7th, even if only three of the four sensors installed in the shuttle's external fuel tank give the proper readings during fueling. The decision to launch with three working sensors was expected to be approved at a flight readiness review on Friday. Up next, NTSB says a helicopter pilot flew too low and hit wires. The sky is falling and it might also be toxic. And here's why they tell you to have all available airport info when you take off. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 28, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The Los Angeles Times reported Sunday that a pilot was flying too low over the Harbor Freeway late Friday and hit overhead power lines before his Robinson R-22 crashed on the freeway. FAA's Ian Greger is quoted by the paper as saying the man was flying alone from El Monte Airport to Torrance Municipal Airport and was not in contact with air traffic controllers when he crashed about 11 p.m. No drivers were reported hurt, but the freeway was closed for more than 5 hours. NTSB is investigating. If the Little Green Book describes your destination airstrip as private, rough, unimproved dirt, and closed in winter, it may be a bad place to attempt a landing in January. 41-year-old pilot William Boyd of Hillsboro, Oregon, apparently missed those details before attempting a landing at Beaver Marsh Airstrip after some sightseeing around Crater Lake with three passengers on Friday afternoon. Boyd found the runway covered in 3 feet of snow on touchdown. He and his passengers walked away uninjured after the Cessna 122 came down in the snow and flipped on its back. The Salem News reports the Oregon State Police gave the men a ride into Bend to rent a car. The FAA has been notified. Mars will not get hit by that asteroid this week, but scientists now say Earth will get hit by one of its own man-made satellites in late February or early March. An American spy satellite built by Lockheed Martin and launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base a little over a year ago stopped responding to commands from Earth shortly after it reached orbit. That has produced two problems. First, the inability to command firings of the satellite's maneuvering rockets, thought to be fueled by hydrazine, has allowed the satellite's orbit to decay. The second, related problem, is that when the satellite falls to Earth, it may have a nearly full tank of hydrazine, which would be hazardous if it reached the ground. Current bets are the tank will rupture from the heat of reentry, producing a fireball which will be visible to the naked eye but pose no danger. Because of the secretive nature of the satellite's mission, there's not much information available about what's on board, but John Pike, director of globalsecurity.org, told the New York Times the spacecraft could contain toxins, including beryllium, which is often used as a rigid frame for optical components. Jonathan McDowell, a space program analyst and an astronomer at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, told the Times that satellites re-enter the atmosphere every few months and usually land far from people because so little of the Earth's surface is actually populated. Call it the big ground theory. But, he tells the Times, quote, one could say we've been lucky so far. A new ground control radar system at Chicago O'Hare International Airport is drawing fire from the local president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, who says the technology is inaccurate when snow is falling. Joseph Bellino is NATCA's facility president at O'Hare. He says the airport's new Airport Surface Detection Equipment, or ASDEX, often fails to detect snowplows, baggage carts, and other vehicles. FAA spokesman Tony Molinaro says the system is still undergoing fine-tuning and is far better than the old ground radar once used at O'Hare, which often produced false or dual images in heavy rain. Quote, the controllers' union leadership shouldn't be trying to scare the public, unquote. The FAA is looking into equipping ground vehicles with basic transponders in order to provide clearer signals to the ASDEX receivers. Still ahead, Boeing's CEO takes delivery of his own plane. AOPA surprises a sweepstakes airplane winner. And new info is challenging what scientists thought they knew about comets. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 28, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing President and CEO Scott Carson has taken some flack lately over delays in the 787 Dreamliner program. But last week, he did see one special airplane delivered right on time. In a special ceremony at Cub Crafters Manufacturing Facility in Yakima, Washington, Carson took delivery of his brand new Sport Cub S2 in a unique paint scheme which pays tribute to his alma mater, Washington State University. Carson told employees, quote, "My decision to purchase this airplane over others I considered is about all of you that are here today. Your commitment to quality, safety, engineering, and more is what makes the difference. You should be so proud of what you have accomplished here at Cub Crafters," unquote. His Sport Cub S2 sports a glass panel and seatbelt airbags. After flying the plane, Carson had another message for Cub Crafter employees. Quote, "Somehow, for a short hour today, I felt like a kid again. You guys are really putting the fun back in the experience," unquote. Bruce Chase is a 15-year flight instructor with over 6,000 hours of instruction logged so far. He's an assistant professor and assistant chief flight instructor at Letourneau University and an FAA-approved aviation safety counselor. His current project is studying pilot performance in the transition between glass panels and steam gauges. So when AOPA Air Safety Foundation Executive Director Bruce Landsberg called to meet with Chase about funding his research, Chase thought it was pretty exciting. He's much more excited now. Not only did Landsberg bring a check from the foundation in the amount of $5,000 for the research, but Phil Boyer appeared with the keys to AOPA's 2007 sweepstakes airplane, a fully restored and updated 1977 Cessna Cardinal, and informed Chase he'd won the plane. The 38-year-old Chase says, quote, "They really got me. I'm still in a little bit of shock," unquote. Restoration has already begun on AOPA's 2008 sweepstakes plane. This one's a 1976 Piper Archer PA-28-181. Conventional wisdom has long held that asteroids were formed in warmer areas of our solar system near the sun, while comets were visitors from colder, more distant places, including some outside our own solar system. That assumption was supported by decades of studies of comet dust captured by high-altitude balloons and aircraft in our stratosphere. But when a team of analysts at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory studied dust samples from the comet Wild 2, they found that thousands of the comet's grains are actually bits of the same silicate rocks found in meteorites that fall to Earth from the asteroid belt between Earth and Mars. Simply put, Wild 2 may orbit like a comet, but it's built like an asteroid. Physicist Hope Ishii says, quote, "It's a wake-up call that small bodies in the solar system don't necessarily come in two flavors. Instead, it's more of a continuum," unquote. The new research is published in the journal Science. The samples came from the Stardust mission, which flew through the tail of the comet to collect dust samples, then returned safely to the Utah desert in 2006. To study comets further, a spacecraft named Rosetta from the European Space Agency is on course for a rendezvous in 2014 with the comet Churyumov-Gerasimenko. Rosetta will fly alongside the comet for a full year as it orbits the sun, then release a lander which will send back analysis of the comet's materials to scientists on Earth. And finally, those new fan-out routes the FAA approved in the Northeast U.S. may be helping ease air route congestion, but they sure are ticking off NIMBYs. When Michael Hall and his girlfriend, Michaeline Buddy, called the FAA's noise complaint hotline about the noise at their home in Ridley Township near Philadelphia, so many others had already called that the voice mailbox was full and not accepting any more messages. So they broke out a can of contrasting roof sealant and in 7-foot-high letters wrote, "Bleep you, FAA," on the roof. Only bleep was, well, something else. Their county, Delaware County, is the plaintiff in one of the lawsuits against the FAA for allegedly failing to properly assess the environmental impact of the route changes. Hall told the Philadelphia Daily News, quote, "Just doing it made me feel better, but I'd still like to say what I wrote directly to the idiot head of the FAA," unquote. Actually, Mike, that would be acting idiot head, at least until he's confirmed by the Senate. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. We'll talk about back doors, a metal tool for better aeronautical decision-making. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.